Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. The great-grandson of King Solomon turned out to be a crusader for God by cleansing Judah of idols, evicting the homosexuals, and targeting his mother's idolatry. God blessed Asa with peace for 10 years until the king of Ethiopia decided to attack with a million-man army, and Jesus gave Judah a great victory. News traveled to the northern kingdom that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had returned to Jerusalem, and people from the tribes of Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon visited the temple to worship the real God. This did not sit well with King Baasha of Israel, and he went to war with Judah to stop his people from seeking the Lord. Asa bribed the king of Syria to attack Israel, and Jesus rebuked Asa for this action. Asa was unrepentant, and 2 years later the grace of God expired, and his time on earth came to an end. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. Have a good day. We're going to talk about a king by the name of Asa. And he actually, this man, reminds me of us today. And we can learn a lot of things from him. He started out good. He ended up bad. And I have seen that in the ministry over the years. People start out good and end up bad. Now, on the outline, we have it says at the very back here on the last page. Remember, it's not so important how you begin your life after salvation, but how you finish. And over the years, I met a lot of people. They got excited. They were going to get doing a lot of good things. And they didn't finish good. So today, if nothing else, this is your take home today. Finish strong. Those in the chapel, will you stand with me right now? We're going to pray. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank and praise you right now for your love, your compassion, and your grace. And I pray now, Lord, that you will take this message today, shape it in such a way that it would speak to each one of our hearts, and that, Father God, we would learn, we would change, we would walk with you, and finish strong. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. We're going to start in 1 Kings chapter 15, and we begin in verse number 9. And in the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, reigned Asa over Judah, and 41 years reigned in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Maasha, the daughter of Abishalom. And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. Now, this man, we don't know how old he was when he started. We don't know how many wives he had, or if he only had one wife. We don't know about his children, except he had one son, that's all we know. So we don't know a lot about his personal life. But he was raised up in a family. His dad was not really walking with the Lord, into idolatry. His mother was a worshiper of a demon god. And she did not follow the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So we can say this, that Asa came from an ungodly home. He did not have a good influence from his parents. In those days, the way that they did it was that when the kings had children, they simply had tutors, they had private teachers. Now, I'm doing a study on Russia. We're looking upon Russia's tsars and their way, how they lived and how they worked. And that goes for all monarchs, that the children basically are raised by servants. And they don't really see their parents that much. So it's obviously that Asa simply had, the Bible in those days was just the five books of Moses. And they did also have the book of Joshua. They had the book of Judges. But that was all they had. But Asa was taught about God, about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Joshua. And he decided this, that he was going to serve the Lord. He might have been 20, 21 years old, 25 years old, we don't know. But he decided now, I am going to serve the Lord. He must have had some kind of a personal relationship with God. And then we read now, we're going to learn that he started to clean house. Now, as a king, he was a dictator. Kings were dictators. There was no election. People didn't have any say. And whatever the king decided to do, that's the way it was going to be done. If you keep your finger here in 1 Kings 15, and turn to me to Leviticus 18:22. That's Leviticus, and we're going to go to chapter 18. Leviticus chapter 18, and we're going to pick it up in verse number 22. This is what God spoke to Moses. You shall not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. It means this, that a man does not have sex with another man. A woman does not have sex with another woman. If we turn now to chapter 20, in Leviticus, and we pick it up here in verse number 13. If a man also lie with mankind, that means a man to man, as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them. Now, God is not a socialist. He is not sentimental. And when he made the human race, he made them men and women. And the order was this, that homosexuality is unacceptable for God. I don't care what the people say that are in power right now, what the latest stuff is. But homosexuality is a sin. And in Israel, when we had the theocracy, it simply was a death sentence. God simply said, you want to do that, you will be executed. Now, if you go back now to 1 Kings, we look now in chapter 18, 15:12, 1 Kings 15:12. And Asa took away the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his father had made. He didn't ask any questions about people's sexual preference. These were Sodomites that were working in the high places, men and women. And Asa simply said, this is the abomination, and we're going to remove it. And the way he removed it, the text doesn't say. He simply said he removed them out of the land. That means they either were executed or they were exiled. They were simply told, go some other place and do your filth, but not here. His action there was actually pleasing to God. And God blessed him. Now, what do you and I do today in America, and if you live in some other countries, where homosexuality is not considered okay, kosher, or the Jews say it is okay? You got to remember, in the 1950s, a homosexual was considered a pervert. They were in the closet. You came out in the 1950s and even earlier and said you're homosexual, you lost your job. You were ostracized. Well, Satan and they worked on it. And today, the homosexuals are very militant. And if you say anything negative about homosexuals, then you are getting ostracized. You're getting taken off YouTube. You're taken off Twitter and Facebook and everything else. And you simply said, no, you cannot say that. But you see, people cannot make legislation and think they get away with it. God spoke. God made us. It's going to be God's way. People might do it for time being, but I'll tell you what, is not going to help them. Homosexuals do not live that long. It's a bad lifestyle. They die young. And they die miserable. They drink, they take drugs, because they do know that something is wrong in my head, and there is no happiness. Anyway, Asa cleaned that out. The second thing he did was, and I really want you to think now, he simply said, my mother is into witchcraft. In 1 Kings 15:13, and also Mahaksha, his mother, even her he removed from being queen, because she had made an idol in a grove, and Asa destroyed her idol and burnt it in a brook Kidron. Now, I want you to see this here. Here's a young man now. He's become king. Here's his mother. That's mom. Mom is a witch. Mom is in witchcraft. Now, he could have said, well, you know, I'm mom, you know, that's my mother, you know, so I'm going to go easy on her. He must have called her in to the court and said, Mom, we got a problem. You're into witchcraft. You have idolatry. Since you're not going to repent, Mom, I'm going to strip you. You're not going to be a queen anymore. You're done. Furthermore, I just sent soldiers out. They destroyed the grove where you worshipped, whatever the building they had there. They took your idol and they burned it. Now, I'm sure that his mother was shocked. Are you doing it? You're my son. He said this to her, I will obey God above family. You want to be a witch? Not on my watch. it's going to be destroyed. It shows that Asa had guts. I mean, he was serious about God. Turn out to, we're going to go up now to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. So 2 Chronicles chapter 14. And we're going to look here from verses 1 through 5. It's 2 Chronicles, let me get to the right place, chapter 15, and we're going to read verse number 16. There we go. And also concerning Maachah, the mother of Asa, the king, he removed her from being queen, because she had made an idol in the grove. Asa cut down her idol, stamped it, burned it at the brook of Kidron. I remember we had a guy in this ministry. He's now with the Lord. I'm sure that he had some stuff to take care of, the judgment seat of Christ. His name was Raymond Knopp. And Raymond Knopp was one of my best Bible teachers I had. He was an excellent Sunday school teacher. Solid. He liked to surf the internet, and of course on the internet you get all kind of junk. You get good stuff, there's also junk. So he got bit by this guy. His name was Bob George. I don't think Bob George is around anymore today, but Bob George got a new doctrine. And the doctrine was, once you get saved and ask for forgiveness, from that day on, you never again repent. You never repent. Whatever you sin, you just walk away from it, but you never repent. So Raymond bought into that. And after a little while, people came to me in the church and said, do you know what he's teaching in the class? I said, no. Well, he was teaching Bob George doctrine. So we had a big meeting. I took in all the elders, took in the deacons, and we asked Raymond to come and explain to us what his new doctrine was. So he did. And so then he simply said this, you know, I'm not going to repent. I'm right. And then he stood up. I still remember that. I have this story in my book. My dear biography, he looked at us men and he simply said this, look, I don't need you. You need me. And then he turned around and he walked out, never to come back again. Now he had a son, and his son was in the church. He was active in the ministry, youth group, and he helped out with recording and so on. And so his son simply decided to stay in the church. So I talked to him. He said, Dad has put a lot of pressure on me. He wants me to leave the church. He wants me to be agreeing with him. So the son lasted about 3 or 4 weeks. And after that, we never saw him again. His dad simply said, I don't want you there. Well, fast forward. The reason I'm telling that is this, that relationships should never be used to take somebody from Christ or to simply say, well, you can sin because it is okay, you are related to me. Well, Raymond died about, he died this year, I believe it was, maybe the year before. And his marriage went south. He was all by himself. He was alone in his house about 3 or 4 days when his son came and checked on him, and he was dead, just laying there. And so he's gone. But here's what I wanted to tell you now. The son, I really liked him. He and another guy in the ministry, we do a lot of things with us. They were in our classes for getting and learning more and so on. And they really could have been great men of God. But Raymond's son met the woman, decided, she actually, you know, they had sex before they got married, and it was messy, and after a little while, he got divorced, spun out, found somebody else, and he's now about 35 years old, in that about 30, 35 in that age group. And I'm thinking about, here was a young man that I had in the church, I had him for about maybe 10 years. Great young man. And today, he's just messed up his life. He can be forgiven. But, you know, two marriages. I don't know how many children they have, if any. And it's all because his dad got bitten by the wrong doctrine and said, I'm out of here. I don't need you. You need me. Pull his son out. And I'm sure today that Raymond is walking back and forth in heaven, wringing his hands and saying, oh my God, look what I did to my son. But it's too late now. In 2 Chronicles 15:17, we read this. But the high places were not taken out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. Now, Israel at this time had lost part of its portion. His dad had taken part of Israel. And Asa simply ruled over that. He took down the idolatry, but he didn't take down the high places. He did not remove the golden calves. I want you to see now, Asa's doing good. He's on his way up. But he makes a mistake now. He has power in Israel to take out the high places. They also controlled Bethel. He could have taken out the golden calves in Bethel. But he decided not to do it. And so now, he left an opening. In 2 Chronicles 14:7, we read this. Actually, let me go back up here to verse number 6. And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest. He had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore he said unto Judah, let's build these cities, make about them walls and towers, gates and bars, while the land is yet before us, because we have besought the Lord our God. We have sought him, he has given us rest on every side, so they built and prospered. Now, it was good. And God simply gave them peace. And did nothing wrong. They built up their cities, they fortified them with walls. And he got an army. We read in verse number 8. And also had an army of men that bear targets, that means shields, spears out of Judah, 300,000, out of Benjamin, that bear shields and drew bows, 200 and 40, 260,000. All these were mighty men of valor. Here's what we understand now. As you make a decision to walk with God, as you clean things up, as you get closer to God, don't think that the enemy is going to say, well, I guess we lost this war. No. The more you walk, the closer you walk with God, the more you serve Him, the harder you'll be hit by Satan, his fallen angels, and the demons. So here's Asa now, his people doing good, 10 years of peace, everybody's having a good time. And Satan says, no, we're not going to have any more good time. There's going to be a war. Read now from verse number 9. And it came out against them Zerah, the Ethiopian, with a host of 1,000,000, that is 1,000,000 men, and 300 chariots came into Marashah. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle array in the valley of Sephathah at Marashah. Now, Asa realized this. I got 1,000,000 guys over here. They got 300 chariots. It's an overwhelming force. We can try to fight them in the flesh. A lot of our people are going to die. We might not win this battle. I need the Lord. And Asa cried unto the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, it is nothing but you to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord, our God, for we rest on you, and in your name we go against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Let not man prevail against you. Now, this is a great prayer. And he simply says, now, I need help. And God said, no problem. I will give you help. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa, before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued unto Gerar, and the Ethiopians were overthrown. They could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host, and they carried away very much spoil. And they smote all the cities round about Gerar, for the fear of the Lord came upon them. They spoiled all the cities, for there were exceedingly much spoil of them. They smote also the tents of cattle, and carried away sheep and camels in abundance, and returned to Jerusalem. They went out to do a battle, didn't know if they're going to live or die. God gave them the victory, and then they got a lot of spoil. A lot of sheep, oxen, camels, whatever they had. They got lots of stuff that they carried home. They were blessed. And so, Asa now simply felt, you know, well, praise the Lord. You know, things are going well. When things are going well, that's when you got to watch it. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, hear you me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you. While you be with him, and if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Prophet came and said, hey, you are blessed. But remember this. If you forsake the Lord, he will drop you. Remember this now. You're saved. We're walking with the Lord. But if we, for some reason, forsake him, he said, fine, I forsake you. Now, for a long season, Israel has been without the true God, and without a teaching priest and without law. But when they, in their trouble, they turned to the Lord, or God of Israel, and sought him, and found them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexation was upon the inhabitants of the countries. And nations were destroyed of nations, and city of city, for God had vexed them with all adversity. Look at verse 7. Be strong, therefore. Let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Be strong, therefore. Let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Now, we're living in difficult times. But God is simply saying this. You walk with me, rely upon me, you will be rewarded, you will make it, we are going to be victorious. We have that promise. Now, look at verse number 8 now. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded, the prophet, he took courage, put away the abominable idols out of the land of Judah and Benjamin, out of the city we had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. He simply said, let's get closer to God. Wouldn't that be great news if somebody came up to you and prophesied and said, you know, God is pleased with you. He really liked what you did last week, and he's going to prosper you. Don't just forsake him. You'll be excited too. Asa was excited. Verse number 9. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh out of Simeon. For they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw the Lord his God was with him. They had a revival. They got excited. Three tribes from north simply said, hey, we're done with the golden calf. Let's go to Jerusalem. Let's go and worship the real God. It was good times. Really good times. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And he offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen, 7,000 sheep. And he entered the covenant to seek the Lord God and their father with all their heart and with all their soul. Notice now, these people were sincere. They had left the idolatry. The Holy Spirit was with them. They were worshiping God. They were excited people. And then he said this in verse number 13, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice, and with shouting, and with trumpets, and with cornets. They were a noisy group of people. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they swore with all their heart, and sought him with their whole desire. He was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. This was good times. Good times is when the devil comes in. Let me take you to 1907. Actually, started about 1904. Azusa Street, Los Angeles. We had this black preacher come in from Texas, Brother Seymour, and he had been baptized in the Holy Spirit. So he had been called to a congregation in Los Angeles, and they wanted to come and preach. So he took a train, didn't have a whole lot of money, came out to Los Angeles. He preached one or twice, and the church told him this, we don't like you. Get out. He didn't have money for a ticket home to Texas. So here was rejected. A few people that were in that congregation said, Brother Seymour, we can meet at our house. And they did. And then the baptism of the Holy Spirit started. And before long, they had outgrown a place. The church that rejected him was just put away in oblivion. And by 1905, 1906, people came from all over the United States. They came from Europe to be baptized in the Holy Spirit in Los Angeles. It was a great move of God, sovereign move of God. And then the devil showed up. And he simply told the men that was in leadership, you need to organize this. Anytime men organize the Holy Spirit, he leaves. And what you got left with are dead corpses. So they organized it. So they founded Church of God, the Assemblies of God, United Pentecostal Churches, Church of God of Anderson, Indiana. Suddenly you had 6 or 7 different denominations that started, all of them sniping at one another, saying, well, we got the real truth. You don't have the real truth. Just like here, had the revival in Jerusalem, the revival of the Holy Spirit simply stopped. He had the baptism of the Spirit continued, but not on a scale. It could have been worldwide, nationwide, but it was stopped. 35 years of peace followed them. That's not bad. And there was no more until the 35rd year of the reign of Asa. Like I said now, when you're doing good, remember this, Satan, his fallen angels, evil spirits, they will have meetings. They will probe. They will check. They would simply say, how can we break this up? And I show you how they did it. Back on the outline now, we have 2 Chronicles 16:1. And in the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, the king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out and come in to Asa, king of Judah. Here now came this ungodly king of northern Israel. And he said, we're going to stop this. I'm going to make war. I want you to see something there that God showed me. War was bloody. At this time, Asa, he had lots of gold, lots of silver. Now, he did not necessarily leave God, but he made up in his mind, I don't want to go to war again. I know that God will be with us, but, you know, I don't like the idea of going out again. I got some gold and silver. Here's what I can do. I can buy off the king of Syria. Let him do the fighting. Let him attack Israel, and Baasha will go back home. Now, from the flesh, it was a brilliant idea. Take your gold and silver, hire some mercenaries, have them do the fighting for you, and you know how to go to war, right? Wrong. So we go now to 2 Chronicles 16, verse number 2. Then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord, out of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt in Damascus, saying, There's a link between me and you, as there was between my father and your father. Behold, I have sent you silver and gold. Go break the league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. Well, it worked. Ben-Hadad said, yeah, I like the gold, I like the silver, not sweat. And Ben-Hadad hearkened to the king of Asa, sent the captain of his armies against the city of Israel, and they smote Ayon, and Dan, and Abel-Mammon, and all the store cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass, when Baasha heard it, that he left off building of Ramoth, and let his work cease. And Asa, the king, took all of Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah, the timber thereof, wherein Baasha was building, and they built there with Geba and Mizpah. So, as far as Asa was concerned, now, this was a brilliant idea. We didn't have to go to war. I simply paid off these guys. They went to war, fought for me. Baasha disappeared north. And he stole all his building material and said, you know, we could build bits with our cities. So, in the flesh, it was very, very successful. But what happened was God happy. In verse number 7 of that chapter, we read this. And at that time, Hanani, the seer, the prophet, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because you have relied on the king of Syria, not relied on the Lord, your God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of your hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubans a huge host, with a band of chariots and horsemen? Yet because you did rely on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro through the whole earth, to show himself strong in behalf of him, them, whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein you have done foolishly. Therefore from henceforth you shall have wars. The prophet simply said, Asa, you've been stupid. You're a fool. Because what you did, now wars will continue until you are gone. Here's what I really want us to hammer home now. You got a summon coming up to you and say, hey, you are sinning. They called you out. The tendency is we get angry, and we simply turn them down. Asa, he got livid. Then Asa was wroth with the seer, the prophet. He put him in prison. Now, he was a king. He was a dictator. He said, I don't like this man. I'm King Asa. You come in. Look. Look what I did. I didn't lose any soldiers. I got the Syrians fighting for me. I got peace. I solved it myself. And the prophet said, you fool, you did it in the flesh. You should have gone to me. He put the prophet in the clink. I'm sure he had him beaten too. He was in a rage. He was not just wrath, he was not angry, he was in a rage because of the thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. Anyone that lined up with a prophet, he oppressed. That means he put them in the clink, he had them tortured. He simply said, I'm going to stomp this out. But remember this. When God speaks to you through a prophet, you better listen. Don't get mad. Take heed. Repent. Because God does not play games. verse 11. And behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, and the disease was exceeding great. Yet in the disease he sought not the Lord, but to the physicians. He now became demonized. We have seen a lot of preachers in the last centuries that were great men of God ended up walking with the devil. Adultery, theft, going to prison, stealing, destroying congregations. This is what we need to understand. When you get mad at God, you start abusing God's people. Demons will be placed in you. Asa got a foot disease. He couldn't walk anymore. Now you would think that somebody getting that sick would have simply said, okay, I give up. But Asa, he was almost like I told you about Raymond Knopp. Raymond Knopp got so obsessed with himself and so full of himself that he rejected God, ended up losing it all. So did Stuart Hucker, another man I had in the ministry, died. Could have lived, got 10 years after his deliverance and died. I've seen a lot of men and women do this. And they end up in a disaster. And you try to warn them. Remember this. When you're blessed the most, that's when you need to pray the most. Because when you are blessed, that's when the enemy comes in. And that's when he will try to take you out. Instead of Asa now simply saying, God, I'm sorry. I was wrong. It might have been a brilliant move as far as humans are concerned. But I was not in your will. Forgive me. I believe Asa could have been healed and restored. Amen. But he got mad. He got mad at God. He got every doctor available. And Asa slept with his father and died in the 140th year of his reign. Now, how could he be such a fool starting so great? The reason is, he had pride. It was prospering. And he thought, I don't want to fight anymore. I buy myself out of this. I do it this way instead of God's way. You know, it's sad. He had built a huge mausoleum. And they buried him in his own sepulchres where he had made for himself in the city of David. And laid him in a bed which was filled with sweet odors and divers kind of spices, prepared by the people that were in charge. I cannot pronounce that word right now. But they're the ones who were in charge of the spices. And they made a very great burning for him. He had a great funeral. Fantastic mausoleum. You go today to Israel, try to find that place. It doesn't exist anymore. It's gone. It's vanity. Let me do my sum over here very quickly. There's no little information in the Bible about Asa's marital situation. We don't know if he was like the preceding kings. We do know he had a son, Jehoshaphat, who became the next king. We do not know if Asa stayed with God's worship or if he went to idols. He was struck with a foot disease, and he died as a result. Was he saved or not? We don't know. If he made a decision early in his life to believe in the Messiah, he is in heaven today. So what is the takeaway from this message? If someone points out your sinful mistake, don't get angry with a messenger. Accept the responsibility and repent. Don't be like Asa and shift the blame. I'm sure that because of Asa, there were people from the nine northern tribes, that got saved. There were probably a lot of people in Judah that believed in the Messiah and made a decision and are in heaven today because of what Asa did as a young king. And that's a good thing. He had good fruit, but it did not end well. How can I say this without, I really want to hammer something home here. I had a young man in this ministry for about 6 or 7 years. Very talented musician. He could play by ears. He could play by sheet music. He had good Bible knowledge. And he was well liked. He also had a good voice. He was in the church and he was part of the music team. And people in the church got divided. At that time we had Pastor Charles was leading the music. And a group of people said, well, we don't like Pastor Charles. We like to have this new style. He was a little freestyle that this guy had. And so he went with it. He caused the church to be destroyed. It was destroyed over music. Rebellion. The people that destroyed it didn't care. They walked away. They left me and Charles and my brother Peter. And Satyrus and Thomas, we had to pick up the pieces. They left us. This young man that started so well had so many talent. He was baptized in the Holy Spirit. He had the gift of praying in tongues. He had the gift to pray for healing for people. He was anointed. And you know what he's doing today? He's a full-fledged homosexual. Putting on Facebook his sinful activities and simply flaunting it before everybody. Is he going to last? He's going to die young. But you know what? It's really sad that you have somebody starting well and ending up bad. So in closing, this is what I want to tell you. I don't want you to get depressed, but think about it this way. Are you planning to finish well? Because you've got to plan it. It's not going to happen automatically. You got to make plans. I'm going to finish well. I'm going to finish my course. And when I walk in through the pearly gates, you want to say this. Jesus, I'm here. And he's going to say, welcome, you faithful servant. Come on in. That's what you should go be. But to do that, you got to think. You got to pray. You got to watch. And whatever you do, do not reject when somebody tells you You have sinned, and you need to repent. Amen. Get on your knees. Don't get mad. Say thank you for showing it to me. You'll be watching today and you're not saved. And you're simply saying this, how do I get in on this plan? I want to go to heaven. Very simple for you. All you need to do is to say, God, I'm a sinner. I've sinned. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross, rose on the third day. Jesus, come on in, save me. Forgive me, Father God, for my sins, and he will. When we finish here, the screen will change for you. Three crosses will come up, and you will hear the voice of Pastor Charles coming up. You will not see him, but you will hear him. And he will say, my friend. And then he will lead you in a prayer, some more scripture, to make sure that you are saved. If you do that today, and you pray with Pastor Charles, would you contact us? Let us know. Go to our website, eauc.org, and let us know that today you were saved. We can rejoice with you, pray with you, and encourage you. To those of you that are walking with the Lord, it was a hard message today. I'm trying to simply push it down to the point. I want to push you to excellency. I want you to finish well. I don't want to see you in heaven outside the judgment seat of Christ hanging there with your face down and saying, you know, man, I blew it. You know, I'm going to get in and get reamed by God, by Jesus, you know, because I was stupid. I want to see you dancing outside the judgment seat of Christ and saying, I'm ready to go in and get my reward. God bless you. Here's Brother Thomas.
Father God, thank you for the word, always uplifting, always educational, always transforming. Lord, we thank you for the word of God. Thank you for this teaching today, Lord. And I, for one, sure hope that Asa made it on in. And that we will see him in eternity. We know the state of man is always hindered. It's a tough state to be in. But I'm reminded of King Solomon too, that was so blessed and finished so poorly. So we thank you, Father God, for instructions in righteousness. And we lift up every believer on the planet today that they might take heed and finish well, Lord. And I want to break every curse that's been spoken against the ministry or each one individually and cancel them out in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father God, for hearing our prayers. Lord, I know the request went out this week for Ina Terrell and the state that she's in, Lord, and I know I've been praying on that situation. And enlisted others, other men of God, to pray. And we pray, Lord, that her time will be finished on this planet and she be taken home. That is the request. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth, and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7-8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You have been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the 50th part in the series, The Origin Story of Jesus, and was entitled, The Kings of Judah. One of Asa's first acts was to cleanse Judah of idols and evict the homosexuals. Then he targeted his mother's idolatry by destroying her place of worship, burning her demon god, and revoking her title as queen. As a result, God blessed Judah with peace for 10 years until the king of Ethiopia decided to attack with a 1,000,000-man army and was subsequently defeated. News traveled to the northern kingdom that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had returned to Jerusalem, and people from the tribes of Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon visited the temple to worship the real God. King Baasha of Israel went to war with Judah to stop his people from seeking the Lord, and also bribed the king of Syria to attack Israel on Judah's behalf. Jesus rebuked Asa for this action, but he refused to repent and was struck with a crippling foot disease. The grace of God expired 2 years later, and his time on earth came to an end. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1839. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.